Good morning, family.
Good morning.
I was glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, I'm back up here again. And you know how that can be. I'm going to try not to hold you as long as I've been doing. I just want to get it out. And let me go ahead and put my apologies out now. So you won't say he was slow in apologizing if I say something wrong, but I never, ever want to apologize for the truth, the word. So if you would, please, again, it's good to be here with you. First, let me thank God for allowing us to be here. You could have been a million other places, to include the cemetery, but he allowed you to be here. So let's thank him for that. Thank him for his son who offers us a path, salvation, to life, eternal life, a reason of hope. Thank him for standing in the gap for us. The leadership of the church, regardless of what you think, if they're working in the name of God, they have a job. They have a job, an important job. My church family is wonderful. It takes each and every one of us to be something and support and make a church. We are the church. Thank you so much for your love and support. My wife, she's not here, as Randy said in the announcement. And please remember all those that are asking for prayer, and we should pray for each other, regardless of how well you think they're doing or how bad they're doing. But Tony should be on her way back here, back to Monroe now. The issue about my niece's daughter and the baby, I don't know any more than that. All I know is they had the medevac right after she was born. So y'all just keep her in prayer. That's all. With that, like I said, I don't want to keep you long. My scripture reading, my supporting scripture reading this morning will be coming from Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verses 2 through 10. Verses 2 through 10. I'm a little bit taller than you, Matt. Hey, is that there? When you have it, oh, you said it, didn't you? Okay. Amen. All right. I'll read. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto that that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are household of the faith. Amen. Amen. My title for this morning is Reaping What You Sow. Reaping What You Sow. A little bit of background behind that. Paul penned this to the Galatians in a long time. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was coming up, you hear the Bible verses, a lot of Bible verses. You hear them, but you didn't know the origin or what it meant until I got grown. I hear a lot of people say you reap what you sow. I just assumed the meaning behind that. But after going through this and reading and studying, there was a definitive origin for that term, reaping what you sow. And to my surprise, Paul has specific intentions when he wrote it, the letter to the Galatians. So if you would, we'll go through it. Paul writes about persons' responsibility, personal responsibility, and sin. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you are spiritual, you should restore your brother. Considering yourself, lest you not fall into trespass or sin yourself. Paul recognized that there may be some among the Christians in Galatia who had been overtaken in trespass and sin. Paul didn't seem to exclude the overtaken from brethren. Paul's wording here speaks not of a determined hardened sinner. Instead, the idea is of someone who has fallen into sin, finding themselves trapped in a place they never thought they would be in. A place where he wasn't a deliberate sinner, but somehow, some way, got behind the ball and was overtaken by sin. He makes the point of the overtaken ones need to be restored. The overtaken ones need to be restored. Hang on to these. Now, these are some things we need to talk about here. They are not to be ignored. They are not to be excused. They are not to be destroyed. The goal is always restoration. Which brings me again to my title, Reaping What You Sow. The term reaping what you sow is a term used by Paul to identify how we are to restore these souls. But before I get into that, Paul specifically identifies the souls that he's talking about. He is talking about people of the church. He's talking about people in the church. That's why if you go back to 10, you will see where he said, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are household of the faith. Now, for me, now my little small BB shot lit up from that because I'm from Willow. Now, hold it. So when I say, be ye not deceived, God is not mocked, whatever a man soweth, that so he shall also reap, that applies to us all because that particular verse swings or cuts like a pendulum. It swings back and forth. But his intent in that verse was he was talking about fallen Christians in the church. That's who he's talking about. Why is that important to us? It's because we have a responsibility to treat each one fair and right, regardless what happened. Just because you're baptized, just because you're saved, just because you lead the choir, just because your Bible is new and because you paid more money than everybody else, don't mean you can't fall. And the other side, that pendulum that swings the other way, don't mean that because you know that person fell, you are supposed to kick him in the teeth. That's a ranger term in the military. After you got him down, you kick him in the teeth so he can't eat. It tells us that we are to be gentle when we are trying to restore brothers and sisters, especially those of the faith. He says, be ye not deceived, for God is not mocked. Don't fool yourself because you are high and mighty. You're coming in here and you're singing every day and praying and got your Bible and now you've been a Christian for X hundred thousand years. And now you feel like you can talk to someone ugly because they slip. I know it's hard. That's what he's saying. And you say, well, Grady, why are you bringing that to us? Because we are children of the faith. That's what we're saying. And without question, he identifies that, listen, as long as you're on the face of the earth, you're subject to sin. You're going to sin. That's why it is taught, you know, one day at a time. One day at a time. But getting back to what Paul is teaching here, Paul is saying, he said, listen now, listen, listen. He said, don't fool yourself. It's kind of like, what's that analogy that those tech heads use with the computer? Garbage in is garbage out. Don't treat your brother wrong. This is going to come back to you. Don't act like you're better than them when they commit a sin. You are supposed to restore, not destroy. Restore, not destroy. Restore, not ignore. Let's don't play like it didn't happen here. We got to face that. Paul says that the priority is always restoration. You say, well, Grady, why do you say that like that? If we're doing what we're supposed to and we have one that fall, then how is it or why is it that they get up and leave the church? Why is it that you have them that don't speak to one another? Why is it that you have them, well, I don't say anything to him. I ask him not to say nothing to me at church. Oh, I know you're mad with me. I ain't gonna stay long. I know you're mad with me. Listen, y'all give me 5 minutes. I'll get in my truck and leave first. You hear me? But I need to get this out here. We need to understand what this is in the Bible. He wrote this to the church of Galatia. He didn't. Don't worry about them in the club. See, you what we got to understand and accept. Satan is not at the club recruiting. That ain't where Satan is. I'm telling you now. It don't make sense. Satan is not at the gun shop recruiting. He's not at the crack house recruiting. That ain't where. Listen, you ain't going to never find him. You're looking for him now. Satan don't have to recruit him. They're already there. Satan is in. He come in the church. Oh, what are you saying now? What are you saying now? They cannot be like that. They cannot be that way. They all got Bibles. They're baptized. There one been baptized 5,000 years. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Satan threat is not in the club. He's not an Uzi holder. He's not a crack guy. He's not a mething maker. That's bad, that's wrong, or whatever, but that's not his threat. His threat is the people of the faith. What makes it so bad is that under that disguise, we come in it, and when one of us fall, we treat him just like he's the enemy. That's not what's in the word. That's not what he said. Don't fool yourself. Nothing in here gives you the right to treat anybody anywhere wrong at any time. Nothing. Be ye not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that showeth, so he shall also reap. It's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back. You know, I have people ask me a lot of times, you know, I don't understand why this is happening to me. Listen to me. I'm not a crystal ball. Let me just tell you about my little small BB shot understanding. This is me. Based upon what I study and know about the Lord, we all sin and fall short. We all sin and fall short. And I believe that all things work to the good of those who serve the Lord. I believe that. And I believe, listen to me, I believe if whatever you do, you are accountable for it. I believe that. I believe that. So when I read, you reap what you sow, and I don't seem to have no explanation on why I'm going through a hard time, it don't bother me at all. I know it's purely by grace and mercy that I'm here. And I know there's enough dirt that I've done, and done to continue to reap right up until I fall off the face of the earth. Bad harvest. So when the hardship comes, I say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me and help me to learn. Help me to learn. See, my daddy told me one time, he said, you have to bend down to know what it is to be up. You had to be hurt to know what pain is not like, or what pain is like. You had to have it. So to be without God, you certainly, once you get God, you appreciate it. You know where you are. Whenever I wake up, like I was, we were talking about, and I think that was a wonderful class, Chris, that was a wonderful class. When we're talking about, listen to me, there is no such thing as you got it made. Whether you're going to church every day or not, you are still subject to sin like everybody else. You are still subject to fall like everybody else. You still going to fall short like everybody else. I've often used the analogy, it's like a race. We're in a race, they call it a dead heat. Everybody's on the same line until you die. So when the term, you reap what you sow, is coming. It's coming. May not be on my watch, but my watch don't count. It's God's watch. With judgment time, that's the reaping. See the analogy, understanding what it says. The analogy of you reap what you sow is a wonderful way to put it. Because when you're born in this world, you start your life, you're sowing at that point. What's going on? And whatever you put in the ground, it doesn't make a hill of beans a difference. The term, that analogy they use, because farmers would use that time, farmers would actually watch the sun and the cloud and say, this is the best season for growing this crop. That's how your life is. Farmers would say, this is the best location for this soil to be that I can actually plant it and get good results. Farmers would say, these are the best seeds. And with all of that, they would nurture, watch, and grow. And when it came harvest time, he reaped what he sowed. But there's a lot of things could go wrong in that path. Farmers could have got some bad seed. Farmers could have not watered the crop. Farmers could have left the soil alone and put rocks or had rocks out there in it. All those things are just like your life. These are obstacles in your life. Or some of the seeds could have just not even fell in the soil. That's your life. These things that you do in your life, rest assured you're going to be accountable for. It's coming back. You cannot sow thorns and thistles and expect to pick strawberries and fruit. It ain't coming. It ain't coming. So Paul says, listen to me now. Listen to me. You are in the church. You're doing this and you got a brother that falls in the church. Be careful how you treat him. You're still sowing too. Be careful how you treat him. You're still accountable too. Be careful how you receive and restore your brother. The circle where we reap swing both ways. You accountable too. Regardless of how much position you hold in the church. Regardless of how long you come. If we in the church can't do what the word said, how in the world can we get those at the club? How in the world can we get those on the street? How in the world can we get anybody to come in here and believe what we believe? If we are annihilating each other. I know you say you get tired of hearing these. I always try to get something that's applicable to us. Trust me. When I was going to the Baptist church, they used to tickle me. They tickled me, yeah. You know. over at the so-and-so church, they do this here and they, you know, they this. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. We do this, and this. And I sit there and listen, I'm saying, you know, it's all one Bible, one God, one heaven, one hell. Why is it different over there that did not do it here? When I read the Word, when I got into the Word, I found out that they were doing pretty much what they want to do. Then I go back and check. It's been like this, Grady. The only reason you know now is that you read the Bible. Think about how many people come in there and just sit there and not know the Word. You got to know it for yourself. You got to know it for yourself. So when that person that you see, you know that we are all in this thing together. We are all here for each other. We all come short. We all fall down. We all get up. Just like the song says, a saved is just a sinner who fell down and got up. That's all it is. So when it comes to seeing your brother who come up short, Paul says, listen, be careful what you're sowing. Be careful what you're sowing. Because, listen to me now, he says, Paul says, if you sow bad, you're going to get bad. You're going to reap bad. If you sow dishonesty, you're going to get distrust. If you sow, listen to me now, if you sow selfishness, you're going to get loneliness. That's what it says. He said, if you sow these things, if you sow pride, you're going to get damnation. That's what it says. So if you sow love, you're going to get friendship. If you sow peace, you're going to get everlasting joy. So when we use the term, and a lot of times you hear them use it, most of the times I heard it when I come it up, be careful, you're going to reap what you sow. It was used as a warning to one side, but it is a warning to both sides. The offender, be careful, you keep doing wrong, you know, you get that stuff come back on you. And the one who was offended, be careful. Don't forgive him and see what happens to you. You got to pay for yours for not forgiving. Reap what you sow. Reaping what you sow. One of the things about the church is that we have a help system, a help network system. That means we're supposed to lean on each other. The other thing that makes it strong, if it works, is that if all of us believe in the same thing morally, I don't have to worry about anybody saying something different about what's morally right. We're supposed to all see that the same. Oh, yeah, you might say you like different color shirts, but you should see right and wrong the same way I see it. I should never want to see anybody suffer in the church. And I should especially feel close to you because we are family of faith. And here's the biggest part, the biggest area that we need to pay attention to. Every single one of us have a responsibility to each other. And what's more or gravely important is that what we send to those children, the message that we send to our youth that's coming up. You reap what you sow. You do somebody wrong, dirt, or ugly in front of the child. What did you just do? There's bigger ramifications for your sin than just what that is. You've just taught that child to do the same thing. So with that, I'm like Paul. Be careful. Be careful. When one falls down, first thing we need to remember is that we sin too. That's the first thing we need to remember. And we need to also look at it from a point of gentleness. You know, nobody likes to be when it down, get talked to and hollered at ugly. No. You've got to be gentle with this. We don't ignore it. We need to get a clear understanding what happened was wrong. And lastly, we need to be there and live and work the example so that that person can see that the strive is worth striving for. Reap what you sow. That way, whenever the time comes and nobody knows the minute nor the hour, whenever that time comes, you don't have to be caught outside the door. You don't have to be caught and say, I should have been trying to get up with so-and-so and get that right. You don't have to be saying, Lord have mercy, please forgive me for so-and-so. You didn't do it then when you done it to them. Say, Lord, thank you. I worked in your word. I know it's not smooth. It's not ice cream. It's not cake. But it's God's word. And this whole thing is about our transition. That's what it's about. None of this is here to stay. None of this is forever. None of this is forever. So as you live in your life, as you sow in your seed, be careful. You reap what you sow. Because when the great harvester comes, my Lord and Savior Jesus, now when he harvests at judge time, he'll separate the wheat from the chaff. Trust me. You don't want to be the one thrown into the furnace. So with that, church, thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you for going to. I just think sometimes we need to be reminded. We don't talk about the hard things. It's always fun talking about the easy things. But we need to talk about the right things. And this is right for us. We need to be right so we can set the right example and deliver the right message. The right message. We have a responsibility to each and every one of us here if we're perpetrating to be or trying to be Christians, people of faith. So if for some reason you felt like maybe I need some more development, some more growth into reaping what I sow, or if you feel like you're having a struggle, you feel like you are just out of it and not into the Bible, I'm telling you, this stuff don't come up overnight. It don't magically go into your head. It don't happen through osmosis. You need to get into this, understand, and read. You need to make a definitive, like I tell my children, you need to make a definitive point in your life. You say, I'm turning here. Regardless of what's in front of me, I'm turning here. I'm going to go right. Now, if this come up and I fall short, all I can do is ask God to forgive me and get back up and start going on. But what we can't do is go back. We can't go back. Can't go back. You integrate with God's plan. You start by hearing the gospel of Christ. You can find that in Romans 16, 13 through 17. Believe in Christ. You'll find that in Mark 16, verses 16 through 17. Repent of your past sins. You can find that in Acts 2, 36 through 40. Confess Christ. You'll find that in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Be baptized in Acts 22 and 16 and Peter 3 and 21. For those of you who don't think that you need to be baptized, sprinkling won't cut it. Live faithfully until death. You'll find that in Revelations 2 and 10. And if anyone ready to make that move now, we ask that you come now as we stand and sing.